Hello and welcome to the Principal Liner Notes podcast. This is Sean Gaylord, and it's a little bittersweet as I'm here with my dear good friend and thought partner and just all of the things, my bandmate. I think this is either your fourth or fifth. I've lost count, Lauren. But I am so grateful that Lauren Kaufman is here to be here as our final interview, our final connected conversation. And thank you, Lauren, for carving out time in your busy schedule. I know it's a holiday, special holiday weekend for you. I'm grateful that you were able to carve time out. Not necessarily the last time, but the last time on this podcast, which you have been a big champion and the unofficial executive producer and just a great supporter. So this is kind of my way of saying thanks and just expressing my great gratitude for you.
Well, Sean, it is quite the honor to have been asked not only to be on one of your final episodes of Principal Liner Notes, but to have been on this journey with you. I don't know, maybe it's been a few years since my first appearance. And I remember when you invited me on for the first time, how excited I was, how nervous I was, because I think it was one of the first podcasts I had ever recorded. And I had maybe done a few before that, but I was still very much nervous about being a guest on podcasts. I guess that's when imposter syndrome can kind of settle in and you think, well, what do I have to share? You know, why does he want me on this podcast? And I was such a fan of yours, even before we really connected, which was we connected through Simon Sinek's Infinite Game, the Infinite Game book.
Right.
And I think you saw I was reading it on social media. I saw you were reading it, and we started connecting that way, sharing quotes, sharing thoughts. And, you know, we hit the ground running and learning together ever since then. And we've developed this beautiful friendship. And before we hit record here, we were talking about the power of moments. And, you know, we kind of settled on this idea that, well, this is something we could really harness and embrace on one of your last episodes. And you have created moments for all of your guests and for all of your audience throughout your journey on the Principal Liner Notes. And I think we, you know, you said, Lauren, thank you for making time, you know, to be with me. You know, we prioritize things we want to do. It doesn't matter how busy I am, when I want to do something, we're all busy, right? That looks different for everybody. We're all busy. But what we value and what's important to us, we make time for. And that's just the bottom line. And you have made time for countless people and educators and leaders over the journey and course of time as you've pushed out this podcast over the years, as your audience has made time for you and you've created moments for people to really reflect and grow and learn with you. You're such a sincere voice in education, and I couldn't be more grateful that I have a thought partner like you to turn to. And it's real, you know, although we haven't met in person yet, I think we will one day, but it's just been, I've been better knowing you. And I know that I'm not the only person who feels that way. I know that you have brought many people together over the course of time. And not only are you a big supporter of others, but you're able to pay it forward by connecting other people so that they can support each other too. And then the cycle continues, creating all of these magical moments. So thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's an honor. Thank you to everybody who's listening and for all you do in education.
Oh wow. I'm speechless. Wow. I don't even know how to follow any of that up, what you said, but I'm very moved and I'm very grateful. And you know, our friendship is something that has been filled with so many just good moments of learning and trust and vulnerability, and it has really sustained me over the years. And I think too, the notion of how we've been there for each other in kind of our peaks and valleys, both personal and professional, and how, the fact that we have not yet met in person, I think speaks to the moments which connect us. Even though you're in Long Island and I'm in North Carolina, did I say Long Island right?
Yes.
Did I get
Yes.
it down right? I'm always cognizant of that. But I know that when we do meet in person, which I think 2025 is going to be the year. This is it, it's
Think
going to
so.
happen. It's going to
Think so.
happen.
Yeah.
It won't be weird. It'll just be like just as it is now, just
Yeah.
as we've connected and talked. And that really, I think, Lauren, this relationship, our friendship, is kind of the embodiment of the vision of this podcast over the years, which was, seeking connection. Leadership is lonely. Leadership can be ponderous. Leadership, you're given a task, and you're like, man, what am I supposed to do with this? And so finding these kind of trapdoor moments along the way, and this co the conversation that you and I have had, but also with the audience and the folks that are listening, is so important and is something that I value and I cherish. And so I know that you have you are as just as you are a great content provider, you are someone who is such a learner, and is and that is something that you prioritize, is your learning. And I know you've been reading a couple of great books lately. I know that a couple of these books, I've read one book I'm currently reading based upon your recommendation, and then another book that I read several years ago that you're now currently reading. So I'd love to hear your ideas, and you mentioned that just beautiful tribute, which I'm very grateful for, moments. So let's talk about moments and the power of moments.
Sure. Actually, that book, The Power of Moments by Chip and Dan Heath, which is not a current publication. It was one that had come out several years ago, but one that it just kept coming across. I hear different people writing about it in books and then recommending it. And then you and Andrea, who had just recorded that podcast, talked about the book. And then I said, okay. That's my next read. I'm definitely going to, after I finish Unreasonable Hospitality, I'm going to pick up this book. So, and just before we hit record, we were talking about moments and that sometimes the moments we create aren't easily tangible, or we're not able to see them in front of us because we're in this whirlwind. We're in this hectic schedule that feels chaotic sometimes. And I think I was sharing with you that this week was one of those weeks where I kind of just felt like everything was a blur. There were so many important things I was doing with my team, a lot of different collaborations, a lot of different committee meetings and professional learning experiences, and running around my school district, doing all sorts of things. They were all important. Every interaction, favorable and unfavorable, those are all moments. But sometimes, we can't recognize them when we're just going through the motions. And this week, I felt like I was kind of going through the motions. And I don't like that feeling really, because then you can't really recognize those magical moments that live in all of the spaces and all the ecosystems across your school district. And even in your personal life, because the moments, it's not just about what we do professionally, but, who are we personally? Who are we? What do we value? Where do the moments come in there? So this week I was not able to really fully recognize and be present in those moments, both personally and professionally. And I told you that as I was driving home on Friday, and I love to write weekly, as you know, I was thinking to myself, wow, this is such a blur. What am I going to write about this week? I was feeling that sense of writer's block. I said these moments, they all blended together for me. And that really bothered me that I couldn't really handpick a moment or two this week. But then I remembered that there was a teacher who sent me an email. It was so simple. It came in on Thursday night and I checked it Thursday mor Friday morning. And the email just read this: Lauren, thank you for today. It was time well spent. So I said, oh my goodness. I said, wow, that was all it said. It was one line, but it really filled my heart, made me smile inside and out. And I said, wow, somewhere in the whirlwind of the week, I created maybe a moment for somebody that I didn't recognize in that moment, but it happened, right? And when a teacher says time well spent, that's like everything to me because I know how valuable time is in education. There's just not enough of it, right? And we hope, and when I plan experiences for teachers, we hope that that's the way they're going to feel. We want them to feel that their time is valued. Not just teachers, but anyone who's in our space, especially when we're facilitating experiences, we want them to feel like it's time well spent. And I was like, okay, well, that is the theme of this blog post this week, time well spent. And then as I was writing, I started thinking from that book of this phrase that Dan and Chip Heath talk about called duration neglect. And they say that when people access an experience, they tend to forget or ignore its length, but instead they rate the experience on two key moments, and one being this peak moment. And this was a peak moment for me when I got this email because then it helped me see more clearly. I was like, oh my gosh, I had a moment in a data meeting with teachers this week where they started facilitating the conversation and it started going off course a little bit, but then I felt this sense of pride because they were facilitating the conversation and it brought them clarity around how to use measures of data, multiple measures, and then create clear next steps for their students. So those were moments that were created. And then I remembered a moment where I felt guilty leaving my school district for another professional learning experience somewhere else. Real, but then I realized how important growth was, so that I needed to be there with my literacy coach. And then when I saw that she had implemented something she learned that day, the next day in one of her professional learning experience, I said, oh, well, that was time well spent, right? So sometimes they're happening, these moments, and we don't realize it. But I think that comes from who we are. Who we are and what we value. And even when we're going through the motions, we're still doing it in a way that's purposeful and intentional because we've been programmed to experience these moments and help people experience moments, even when we can't see them ourselves.
Yeah, and that man, that's just so beautifully stated there, and the power of moments. I love how you frame your learning because then it always serves as a catalyst for further learning for me. So now as you're saying all this, I'm like, I gotta find my copy of The Power of Moments and revisit that and reread that. And it echoes a lot of several things. It echoes our mutual friend Megan Lawson and her work with small moves and how sometimes we focus, there's something about the beauty of focusing on the grandeur rather than the grand. And because the grand sometimes is unattainable. It's great to aspire to, but so there is something accessible about the grandeur, these moments that you can hang on to and see that, wow, I've had an impact, the other thing that it also kind of reminds me of, and I'm going to take a quick turn to your work and something that we were talking about prior to pressing record, is this seemingly granular, innocuous moment of a young Lauren in fourth grade, and you were new to this school, correct? Were you a new student?
No,
You
I
weren't
was
new.
not a new
It
student,
was
no.
the beginning of the year or something like that, and you were new to the teacher, Ms. Roth, and how you zeroed in on a book that she was carrying, and that moment for you was life-changing. That moment for you was part of this kind of, well, there was other things leading up to, that were part of this moment of this teacher transforming your life and igniting the leader inside. But my guess is when Linda Roth was at whatever teacher supply store or bookstore or whatever conference, and I'd be interested how she got the book or how the book landed. I remember, and we're talking about the book by Atwell, In the Middle. It's a classic, teacher resource book. I think there's been maybe two, three, four editions of the book. I remember it was a book that I picked up when I first started teaching back in 1992. But it's a book that you zeroed on so much that you had your parents buy it for you in fourth grade. And but I just wonder, like, when Linda bought that book, she wasn't thinking about impact or this kind of moment, that this life-changing moment that you're going to have. And again, it kind of echoes what you said about the teacher sending you the email about the professional development. It was time well spent. We don't know. We don't know the power of the moments that we carry for others.
Yeah, that was beautifully said. All that was beautifully said. I couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah, it also reminds me of, when authors are writing a book, whether it's a piece of literature or an informational text or, whatever the genre it is. I think that there's so much purpose and intention, but I think the words that resonate with people when we unpack those texts or those pieces of literature, I don't think the author was writing thinking that people are going to unpack the words in a book the way that they do, because we all transact with texts in a very different way or experiences in a very different way. So I never think it's the initial intention that we are going to ensure that these moments or these transactions of text are going to resonate and land a certain way with certain people. I think that just happens very organically. And that's what's really cool about a book, about literature, about the choices that we make. And yes, Linda Roth, who's my fourth grade teacher, I'm sure I have to find out the story of how she even got the book. And it was interesting when I had brought it up to her, she remembered the book, but I'm not so sure that it was an incredibly memorable moment for her as much as it was for me, because that was a microcosm of her whole career, perhaps, right? And what I notice is I noticed that she was carrying around this book in my fourth grade classroom, because I, even though I was a young girl, I was painfully shy at the time, but I'm a really big observer of people, even to this day. I notice everything,
You do.
which is a blessing and a curse, because I take everything in. I take body language in, what people are saying, what people are doing. I like to read the room. Less talking, more listening, has gotten me a long way in a lot of different situations. And in that situation, what I did notice is a very young girl that she was creating these really innovative and creative moments for her students. And there was something really different about that than other classrooms I had been in my elementary experience. And I was able to recognize that as a kid. Like, why am I so interested in what she has to say? Why am I so interested in this lesson? Why? It must be that book that she's holding and carrying around with her. This is what I thought as a little girl. That was all, had all the post-its in it. And I could see when she opened the book, there were highlights in it. And I was like, I want to know what she's writing on those post-its. What is she underlining in this book? What is so important that? And the book had a little bit of this lived-in look to it too. So I knew that this wasn't the first year she had used the book. And or maybe it was, and that she is, was just opening it so much and marking it up so much. But you know, we notice these moments. You know, even, you know, kids are watching us all the time, right? They're watching everything we say, everything we do, maybe some more than others, right? And that's why we want to model what we want to see to create those moments that we don't know about yet.
Right on.
But yeah, I mean, that was something because you're referring to a story I share in The Leader Inside. My book that where I was able to write back and forth with Linda, and we were able to recount that when I noticed that she had a book, and I had my parents purchase it for me, so I had my own copy of that book as a fourth grade student. I mean, if that didn't create a, that was like a moment right there that foreshadowed me perhaps what the future would hold, right? And then to be able to, in the beginning of my teaching career, have one of my former supervisors reach out to me and say, or reach out to my department and say, hey, Nancy Atwell is going to be in New York City at this conference. Who would like to go? So, of course, I was like the first one to respond on a Saturday morning. I was like, of course, I'm going to go, even though it was a Saturday morning. And I brought my book with me and I waited for the moment. I was still kind of shy. I was a new teacher. I waited for a moment. Talk about moments for Nancy Atwell to be alone, or just an inn where I can just get the courage to tell her this story. And so many people were talking to her, but I finally got the moment, and here I am holding the book and saying, Mrs. Atwell, this is what happened. You know, I told her the whole story. My parents bought me this book when I was in fourth grade because my fourth grade teacher was using it. Now I use it as an educator, and I would be very grateful if you signed it for
Wow.
me. And she stopped and she said, wait a minute, what? She said you were in fourth grade when you got this book. Talk about a moment, a full
Love it.
circle moment. It was just unbelievable. Yeah, that was a blog post I actually wrote very early on when I started blogging. It was called Eternal Memories Manifest Hope for the Future. That's what it was called. I can't believe I even remember the title of that post, but that's where I told the story and then brought it into the book. So
You
talk
brought
about
it in,
moments.
weaved it in so beautifully, Lauren, and it is by far, and I read the preview copy, I read the PDF, I read a very early draft of the book, and I was with you on that journey, and I loved it the first time. And I think I was happy at the fact because I knew, every time I would read your blog post from the beginning, like, this is a book waiting to happen. Lauren is a book waiting to happen. So I'll admit, I sped through that. I also know I had a deadline because I wanted to get meet your deadline of writing the endorsement, but I sped through it. And then I knew I promised myself that, because I always do this when I endorse a book or get a preview copy, I always want to support the author. And so I will buy the copy and I will be looking at Amazon once I know. And I always want to be like one of the first ordered. So I may have been, maybe your dad and mom probably, or your husband, probably the three of them probably beat me to it, by ordering the first off Amazon. But I wanted to be maybe the first non-family member, to order the book. So anyway, when the book came in my hands and I was able to carve out time so that I could spend savoring the book and doing a slow read of the book. And there were things that came back to me from the first read. I follow your blog very closely and a proud subscriber of it. And so there were things like, oh yeah, I remember that paragraph, or I remember that moment in the blog post. And I loved how you developed it and how you blossomed it. And as I was reading Eternal Moments Manifest Hope for the Future, which I just have always loved your way with words. You just have such a great appreciation for language. I know it's genetic. You are the proud daughter of an English te high school English teacher, which is part of my jam as well. And as I was reading this, not only did I just fall in love with Linda Roth, and I did, and I wanted to say that because I know she's listening and tuning in, but I just fell in love with her and her story, and it led to just so many curiosities about like how did she get that book? So anyway, I'm reading this, and two things were happening as I was reading this chapter in The Leader Inside, which again I highly recommend everybody pick up a copy and add to your pile. But this was a very cinematic chapter. And again, it may have been to the style of the points of view, but I just felt like a camera eye going back and forth. And I was casting this book as I was reading it, so I was, thinking of like a young Selena Gomez, in fourth grade when she was on Wizards of Waverly Place or whatever it was, being you. And then I thought about the adult Selena Gomez, and then who's Linda Roth? And I'm thinking Meryl Streep, and then I'm casting your dad, because he there's that beautiful picture of the three of you in the book, and I'm thinking, man, your dad's got like a Robert De Niro type thing, going on, and maybe De Niro could play Bob Epstein, I'm just all over the place with this, but then, as I thought about what the moment, let's just go there for a second. If Linda Roth had not purchased that book, or if even if she didn't bring that book to class, then there is no teacher Lauren Kaufman. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Maybe you stay in makeup artist world. And you don't go into education world, and then I thought about, man, if Lauren didn't become an educator, yes, she would be successful. She's a beautiful and amazing human being. She would, the makeup world, makeup artistry world would just be soaring and having her great impact. But then I thought about all the other lives that you would not have touched as teacher, as coach, as there's no Long Beach mentoring program, there's no director of literacy, there's no assistant principal. Then I thought about there's you and I wouldn't have met. You and I I'm not look at me, I'm not in a makeup artist, I'm there's no way I the most I put on here is Brute and chapstick. That's it. Okay, that's it. Aftershave and chapstick. So anyway, we don't even talk about the lighting. Don't even talk about the lighting. Megan and I talked about that yesterday. That's a whole nother topic. Just how you have the best lighting ever out of all of the guests. If you give like a I need to have like a Gaylord Award or a Grammy or something. Best lighting, 8 seasons in a row. Lauren Kaufman, wins. But anyway, as I'm just thinking that I would not have had this beautiful friendship. I would not have had, and the beautiful friendships that you fostered with me and Megan and so many others, and the impact that you have had all in that moment. You zeroed in on this book and wow, what is this book, and what magic is she creating out of this book? And that stayed with you, and that led to a word that I love every time you use this word, and you use it liberally and often in conversation. You use it liberally and often in the book, trajectory. And I love how, that's like a Lauren word, and how it really is. It's just one of your patented words, and you made
Pointed that out to
what?
No, you just pointed that out to me.
Yeah,
I knew.
that's one of your words, man. It is. It's like one of your words. It's like I can't. It's just. But I love how you use it. It's like. It's just. It's like harmony, and what have you. But That book was the catalyst, which, that's one of my words, it was the catalyst for the ignition, that's another word, that for this beautiful trajectory that you, and beautiful is our word, so that you've gone on. And I just, I'm so, that's like, I have to meet, I have to talk to Linda Roth. Yes, I'm in love with her. I admit it wholeheartedly, but I am in love with the fact that she had such an impact on you, and I have to thank her because she gave me the gift of Lauren. She gave me the gift of our friendship. Had it not been for that book,
Oh
there it
my
is.
goodness. Wow. I mean, I don't even, I'm a little bit speechless right now.
Yeah, my
I
turn for you to
mean,
be speechless.
I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless. I mean, everything that you just said, it's interesting how the important people in our lives, and you're one of the important people in my life. And I often talk about how there are people that come into your lives, you know, into your life for minutes, for hours, or maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe years. You know, you don't know that everybody serves a purpose. Sometimes you don't see it in the moment, but later on, you're saying, oh, okay, that's why that person came into my life, or that's why that experience happened. And then that became a moment, right? So I think you're one of those people for me that just gets me to see things that I don't even see in myself. Like that word trajectory.
One of your words.
I was
I
like,
love, and I love it every time you say it. It's
that.
just, because, trajectory is such a clinical term, right? It's a
Right.
physics term. It's a flight term. It's not a word that is used often, but I just love your appreciation for words and language.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
thanks.
the next book needs to be called Trajectory, or there needs to be a
Trajectory.
chapter in the next book on trajectory. It's a TED talk. I'm telling you, it's just, I just love it, and you elevate it, here it is, Lauren. You elevate all that is good in others, and you have such an art to it, your intuition, your observation, and you just have this way of elevating language and elevating the best in people. And maybe some of that is again your whole other world, your whole other life as a makeup artist, because that was all about bringing out the things in people. I don't think I've ever shared this with you. My mom worked in cosmetics,
Oh.
in a department store here in North Carolina. She worked part-time at the cosmetics counter, and did all kinds of things. Being black, there was a special makeup that she had for African American women that she did, and one of her customers was Dr. Maya Angelou, who lived here in Winston. And
Are
that's a whole other
you? Kidding
yes,
me?
I'm not kidding you.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold, pause. You just created a moment.
I did.
And I didn't know any of this. And I think this deserves a whole other podcast. A whole other, whether it's a podcast or just a side conversation,
Yeah.
I would love to know more about this story. That is incredible, Sean. I
Yeah.
never knew any of this. And that is. Wow, the fact that she Maya Angela was one of her customers.
Yeah. Always asked for my mom by name. When she would go to Tallheimer's, which was a department store in North Carolina, chain and family owned, and Dr. Angelo lived in Winston-Salem and taught at Wake Forest University, and my mom was a big fan of hers and her work. So my mom always got her to sign her books, and so my mom has a first edition, hardcover edition of I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, signed by Dr. Angelo. And Dr. Angelo said to my mom, like, you don't see this version around too often. You've got a special copy, and said something like, it's even more special now that I've signed it. So
Where is the copy? Nah.
It's at my mom and dad's house, so I'll have to
Oh
take a
my
picture.
gosh.
I'll take a picture and send it to you. I'll find it.
That is quite the story, Sean. Oh my goodness. How interesting. And talk about moments, you know. There it's interesting how you know, because you know me so well and you know my past life, and a lot of your audience probably doesn't know that part of me that I was in cosmetics for many years before going back into education. And I was a trainer in the cosmetics world, which was an interesting role because it helped me understand people and what it meant to make people feel good on the inside and the outside, you know, literally. But for you to make that connection, now there's this whole other story that emerged because of that. Maybe you wouldn't have thought about sharing that with me
No.
about your mom and that story with Maya. I'm calling her by her first name, Dr.
It's okay.
Maya Angelou. And I mean, that is just incredible. I don't even know what else to say. I just want a whole other conversation around that, and I have to see the picture of the signed copy for sure. But you're making me just think about something else. Talk about moments. Going back to that time in my life, I think when you're in that world and you're working in the department stores, and I worked in many department stores in New York City. I was a trainer for the Northeast, but my home base was in New York City. So I worked in a lot of different department stores. And I think my biggest moment of awe was when I saw Olivia Newton-John and she came up to my counter. And she was one of my heroes, of course, you know, watching Grease as a kid. I mean, talk about moments. When I saw her approach my counter, I don't know that I spoke very well. I think it was like, oh, and how can I help you? And I'm gonna now pretend that I don't really know you because I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable in this moment. You know, I want to be totally cool and totally natural in this moment because I don't want to make somebody I admire so much feel uncomfortable, you know. But I'm thinking about your mom and those opportunities that you get when you're working in a space like that. It made me think about that. I haven't thought about it in years, actually, but I did get to meet a lot of interesting people that way. So,
And that could be, and that may be another blog post, friend.
Maybe.
That could be a chapter in your next book, which I'm gonna encourage you, just as you've been so encouraging of me. But I don't know about you, but if I met Olivia Newton-John, I just would have melted, because I had a whole schoolboy crush on her. Wow, that must have been something. That must have been surreal.
It was incredibly surreal. I mean, she was my childhood hero. I mean, I just wanted to be Sandy in Grease, you know. All of the music. I mean, I'm a big theater fan.
Well, you
I
are.
was in all the musicals, you know, as a kid in high school. I was in all the musicals, and that would have been my dream. My sister actually got to perform in Grease in high school. I wasn't lucky enough. She played Rizzo, which is another great role,
Really is.
oh my gosh, talk about a moment. I mean, I don't regret any of those moments from my pre-education life. You know, while I was in college, that's when I started in the cosmetic industry, and I was moving through the ranks there, and who knows where I would have been. I was thinking about what you said before. Who knows where I would have been? Because I look at some of those people that I used to work with in cosmetics back in those days, I started in the late 90s, and that was like the early 2000s, and some of them are incredibly successful in that space, incredibly successful. And I do wonder sometimes, oh, I wonder if I had stayed this course where I would have been, you know. But I'm meant to be here. You know, I'm meant to be in this moment with you right now, here at this one of the final Principal Weiner Notes
Yeah, this is it.
podcasts. You know, we're coming full circle here. And you've really illuminated so many different facets of me in this conversation, Sean, as you have illuminated some facets of you I did not know about. Going back to that, I just re really appreciate you, everything you bring to education. You really bring out the best in people, Sean. You should know that. No matter what is happening in your days and your weeks, and in education, nothing is linear, right? Everything is non-linear. The path, the journey, the trajectory, that looks different for everybody. And you just have to know the impact that you have in the moments. Going back, let's bring this full circle. The moments you have created for your listeners, for your guests, for the schoolhouses that you've been lucky enough to serve. We're just so fortunate. And I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you for your support of me and so many others in the educational community. I don't think you realize the significant impact that you have on people as human beings, leaders, and educators. So thank you.
Well, Lauren, I am so grateful for you, and I know we have a hard stop, and you've got a busy holiday weekend to continue to enjoy and savor with family and friends. And I just can't thank you enough. Although this is our last conversation in the realm of Principal Liner Notes, I'm not done with podcasting. We're going to have you on the inaugural episode with our great friend Megan Lawson for Hope Amplified. You were at the top of our list. You're always at the top of our list. You're definitely at the top of my list in all things. And I'm just so very grateful for you and our friendship, which I just cherish and appreciate so much, and your encouragement over the years, whether when I've hit writer's block or imposter syndrome or dragging or having a heart episode, you have just been there for me as just a friend and a bandmate and just great encourager. And as I said, you just have this beautiful art of illuminating and elevating the best in all of us. So this is by no means goodbye. This is our conversation is lifelong, and so I'm very, very grateful, and I would encourage listeners to engage and follow Lauren on all her social media channels, and to also pick up a copy of The Leader Inside: Stories of Mentorship to Inspire the Leader Within. It is filled with wisdom, it is filled with grace, and it will help ignite your trajectory towards the leader inside. So, Lauren, this isn't goodbye, my friend, but I love you big, as you, me, and Megan like to say, and I thank you for past moments, present moments, and future moments.
Love you big, my friends. Thank you to everybody who's listening.
Right on. This is the Principal Liner Notes signing off almost one last time. Very grateful for my guest and my dear friend Lauren Kaufman. This has just been a really special episode, so I'm very grateful that you're all a part of it. Don't forget to share with the world your dreams, your ideas, your visions, because the world needs them, and the world needs your trajectory, and your trajectory helps make the world a better place. This is the Principal Liner Notes. This is Sean Gaylord. Catch you on the flip side.